Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Open now for brunch.
Friend of the Da Show, NFL Network, our good friend Steve White. Steve, good morning.
D to the A. Thanks for having me back in your dojo, man.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can always listen to the show across our wonderful affiliates here on CBS Sports Radio and also on Sirius XM Channel 206. Listen to us also on your phone using the CBS Sports app, radio.com, or Apple Music. Speaking of our friend, straight from his dojo, the NFL Draft, the NFL Network's Steve Weich joining us this morning on the show. Steve-o, good morning.
D.A., hey, what's happening, man?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really
good. I like to
hear
it.
Yeah, man.
I like to hear it, D.A.
Loved your coverage of the NFL Draft, and you were very supportive of Josh Rosen getting another shot, a clean break, and now he gets that in Miami. We had heard so many negatives about Rosen coming out of college, uncoachable, immature, asked too many questions, although that was always a weird kind of criticism. Why does it seem like now his teammates like Larry Fitzgerald and others are so supportive of his character? Did he change, or did we have the wrong information on him?
It could have been both. I mean, look, you know, a lot of the assessment was when he was very young. Think about how much we all grow between we're 19, 20, 21. Okay, then he gets around grown men. He gets around a professional environment. So he probably grew up some. Well, some of the information was wrong as well. So that was part of it. But everything you heard about Josh Rosen last year and even this offseason was fantastic. I mean, he worked hard. He wasn't a pain in the butt. You know, maybe he asked a lot of questions, but that's because, as we know, there are some people in this world who want to get the right answer, who want to do it right. Some people assume that as being a little too inquisitive. But in terms of Josh Rosen, at least when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals and their former coaching staff and current coaching staff, they didn't see it as a problem whatsoever.
I always thought that was the weirdest critique. Like, do we assume Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning don't ask questions? Is Drew Brees not inquisitive? Where did that ever become a negative?
Well, it's funny, you know, because years ago when I covered the Falcons, Joey Harrington was their quarterback during the whole Michael Vick scandal thing. And Joey was always known as one of these guys who would ask a million questions about every potential scenario. And then Coach Bobby Petrino was just like, man, just run the damn play. So, you know, there are some people who get exhausted, you know, with all the inquisitiveness, but other people, it just works for them. I mean, I don't know why that's a pain in the butt for some people, but again, when it comes to Josh Rosen, it was not a problem with the Cardinals.
I felt it would seem like you could get more than a late second-round draft pick for Josh Rosen. Did the Cardinals not get enough?
Well, I mean, they played their leverage wrong. I mean, had they maybe traded him before Washington drafted Dwayne Haskins or the Giants, you know, drafted Daniel Jones, they traded him 3 weeks ago. Okay, sure, they would have tipped their hand. But people have been saying they're going to be drafting Kyler Murray for 6 weeks. I mean, it was already out there in the atmosphere. But so the longer they waited, the less leverage they had. I talked to teams who were like, wow, they got a second out of it. That was a steal because everybody knew what they were doing, and nobody was really desperate for a quarterback. So, you know, Josh Rosen was kind of a luxury. He went to the right spot. But you see the Dolphins, they actually traded back a couple times in the second round. So it wasn't the highest of the second round pick to get Rosen. So they weren't going to get any more of that. And trust me, right now, people are saying the fact they got a second rounder, they did well.
So interesting. What was the strategy then, do you think, behind the Cardinals waiting until when they did to finally trade Rosen? And as you said, quarterback needy teams like Washington, New York, and Denver had already drafted QBs.
I wish I had the honest answer for you. I think part of it was Steve Keim, general manager for the Cardinals, thought he could get a first-round draft pick because Rosen was still young, because they paid the brunt of his contract already, and because he was a first-round draft pick. But again, you talk to people around the league, which is what I did because I was with Phoenix the entire week, and I spoke to folks for weeks around the league, and they were like, Nobody is going to give them that. It's not a knock against Rosen. It was just a matter of Arizona not being flexible. They were holding out for a first-round pick until the final moment, and they realized after they draft Kyler Murray, we pretty much have to take what we can get, because as much as Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury were saying, hey, we could have both of them here, there was no way chemistry-wise that was going to work. Football-wise, sure, Josh Rosen could have been like, okay, I'm going to come be there. But Murray's coming in as the starter day one. I mean, he was the first overall pick. Everything they did to go get him, Cliff Kingsbury's relationship with him, Rosen would not have had a chance to compete fairly for the job. So it's a good thing that they got him out of there. And they spared the rest of the locker room that type of tension and drama.
Steve Weich, NFL Network. You can follow him on Twitter, at Weich89, joining us after the NFL draft. How do you think the Tyreek Hill situation unfolds?
Well, I think as soon as they can, through whatever type of forensics, verify that that was Tyreek Hill on that tape that we heard with the conversation with his girlfriend, I think he's gone. I think the Chiefs cut him, and then I think the district attorney's office in Kansas City is going to look back into seeing what's going on, because if this is true, and they found some child abuse, I think not playing football again is going to be the least of his worries.
Totally agree. Do you think the Chiefs, though, would wait to see what the NFL did before they cut Tyreek Hill?
No. I think this is one, again, through their own investigations or whatever, if they find out, again, through forensics, you know, whatever, that is definitely Tyreek Hill on that tape, he's gone. We saw that with Kareem Hunt. We've seen this before. The Chiefs, Clark Hunt, and I know Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs, and people are still saying, oh, well, why is he still on the team right now? Again, maybe they're going through some way just to clear everything, to make sure that's Tyreek Hill on that tape. But Clark Hunt is very serious about this type of thing. So I think, you know, if they do verify that, Tim, he'll be gone.
What do you think that means for the Chiefs, losing both Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill in the same offseason?
Well, I mean, they move on. You know, they went out and they drafted a speed wide receiver.
Are they still a Super Bowl contender in your mind without those two guys?
Yep, because they've got Pat Mahomes. You know, it's the same thing we've seen teams with great quarterbacks do. They've lost receivers before. They've lost key players before. Tom Brady, how many receivers and running backs has he gone through? And when you've got that type of special talent, that type of coaching staff, they can bounce back. Now, I will say this: Tyreek Hill is such a next level player in terms of speed as a wide receiver, return ability. Can run that jet sweep. That's a special talent. But you know what? Andy Reid didn't have a player like that before, and he had competitive teams. He'll figure something out. I mean, that's a big blow talent-wise. But they still made it to the Super Bowl losing Kareem Hunt. And not to the Super Bowl, to the AFC Championship, losing Kareem Hunt early in the year. So they'll figure something out.
Let's talk winners and losers from the draft. Who's your big winner? What team do you like did the most in the NFL draft?
Yeah, you know, my thing is, I'm not one of the Daniel Jeremiah types in terms of the evaluation, it's hard for me to say necessarily who won. I tell you this, though, in speaking to people, they really like what the Patriots did.
Oh, great. Great. That's
draft.
Just tremendous.
I'm
fantastic.
Sure you,
this is really exciting, Steve. I'm really glad you brought that up.
I knew that was going to knock you off your side. You know, but this is some of the value they got. I mean, you know, getting a wide receiver is something they don't do at the back end of the first round. You know, people are saying they're loving the Patriots. I tell you, and it's for losers, it's going to be interesting to see, because the Falcons are taking a lot of heat for drafting a couple linemen higher than what, you know, people projected. See, that's why the winners and losers thing is kind of crazy, because you can project somebody at a spot. But if you only have one draft pick and you want to get that guy to help your team and he fits a need, then you do that. And I do know that the Falcons are a need-based drafting team. They're not that best available player crap we hear all the time. So it's hard. You know, again, it's really hard to tell. I will say this: the Browns, for not having a ton of draft picks, they landed some really good talent too. John Dorsey has stacked up a lot of talent on this team. Now let's see how it all comes together.
Do you believe in the Browns? I mean, some people have gone so far as to say they're a Super Bowl contender, but do you believe they're, let's start here, the best team in their division?
Yes. Yeah, I think they are now the favorite to win. And I know people say, oh, they got all this talent, dream team, this and that. You know, you look at how the foundation of what they built last year with Baker and some of the interior players, then they trade and they get, okay, Odell Beckham, that's a splashy one. But let's not forget, they signed Sheldon Richardson in trade for Olivier Vernon. Okay, so now they've got total hard work, guts guys. That defensive line is going to be so great with Larry Ogunjobi and Myles Garrett, Olivier Vernon and Richardson. They've got so much talent, but in terms of character guys, the one thing that staff does with Dorsey and Highsmith and Elliott Wolf, they get guys who, we hear the cliche, love football, but these are blue-collar workers. Yeah, OBJ is a diva, but he's a worker. Everyone else on that team is a grinder. And so I think they are going to be a very, very good football team. What's crazy is the pressure, honestly, is on Freddie Kitchens, the first-year head coach, to put it all together and make it happen.
Totally. Yeah, Steve Weitz joins us from NFL Network. So on that way, we'll let you go on this. Odell Beckham goes to the Cleveland Browns. Did you think Dave Gettleman got enough in return with that trade? And what did you think about Gettleman going with Daniel Jones at number six?
Well, you know, a lot of people, especially some folks I work with, said for weeks, they're going to go with Jones at six. And I was like, why? And they said, because Gettleman is not a risk taker. He's your conservative investor, so to speak. All right. He's not going to go with the high risk, potential higher reward. He's going to go with the moderate, long-term investment type guy. And that's what they view Daniel Jones as, because he's similar to Eli. He knows Eli. It's the perfect situation. And overall, for what Gettleman has done, this is, I don't know. I mean, honestly, I don't know the blueprint. I don't know what they're trying to do. I know you're trying to build as you're staying competitive. I just don't see where the overall talent is. I don't see what the long-term plan is. And, you know, Pat Shurmur, that's something else we keep forgetting about. This is the coach who hasn't won. He's had, this is his second opportunity and has not won. So he's got a lot of work to do, but I'm very, very interested to see what happens this year with the Giants, because I think a lot of us are wondering, you know, what exactly it is they're trying to build.
Aren't we all interested to see what the Giants are trying to do here? Steve Weitz is an NFL Network reporter. You can follow him on Twitter for the latest, at Weitz89. Again, he's a wonderful follow, at Weitz89. Great job during the draft, my man. It is great to catch up with you as always. I'm sure we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good, DA. Take care.
Okay, you too. Steve Weitz joining us from the NFL Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.